Hey, this is Sayem Bhutani, and you're listening to Chai Time Data Science, a podcast for data science enthusiasts where I interview practitioners, researchers, and cagglers about their journey, experience, and talk all things about data science. Welcome to Chai Time Data Science Show. In this episode, which is an excerpt from my complete interview with Tim Detmers, which will go out in quite a few weeks, we talk specifically about the RTX 3000 series. There are a few burning questions, I believe, in the deep learning community, which is, should you buy these? Which ones should you buy? How can you make two of these work together? Are they slower than the expected Quadro series, expected at the time of recording? I try to ask these questions and the theoretical ones to Tim. We'll discuss these in this segment of the episode. And I've decided to release this earlier to help answer a few of these questions. So if you'd like to watch the complete interview, it'll go out in quite a few weeks. That's one of the most insightful ones, generally speaking, about academia or research in general and the personal side of things, which aren't discussed as much as far as I know outside of Tim's blog posts. More on that in a few weeks. Here's the segment of the interview to answer which RTX 3000 series GPUs should you get, and if it makes sense to upgrade to these, and how could you possibly theoretically make multiple of the BF GPUs, the 3090s, work together. I hope you enjoyed this excerpt of the complete episode. Now, coming to the burning topic, at least at the time of recording, this would go out in a few weeks, but which is the RTX 3000 series. It's almost overhyped that you're just getting thrown with so much content on these. What's your GPU recommendation in, I think it's September 2020. What's your recommendation today?
Yeah, so actually the recommendation changed today or yesterday. More data came out, and it seems to be confirmed that there is sort of a performance limitation on the RTX 30 series, which is just similar to the RTX 20 series. And so what they do is, so basically NVIDIA knows that if they enable all the features of the normal architecture on these GPUs, then nobody will buy Quadro cards, nobody will, or only few people will buy Tesla cards. And so they cannot sell these professional cards. And so what they do then is limit the performance a little bit.
I'm sorry, for people who don't understand, can you tell the difference between the Quadro cards and the RTX cards?
Mm-hmm. So the RTX cards are mostly designed for gamers. Of course, people like us just use it for deep learning, and it works pretty well for that. But NVIDIA doesn't like that. NVIDIA wants it to just for gamers, and these data sets were banned for data centers. So you're no longer allowed to put them in data centers. Some like nonprofits and universities, they can get an exception for that. But usually they don't want to have these gamer GPUs in data centers. And so there are the Quadro cards, and NVIDIA says, oh, you should buy the Quadro cards and the Tesla cards. They're much better. They're perfectly designed for professional people and for researchers. And so just buy them. They just cost 10 times the price or 6 times the price, and they're great. And I mean, if you look at their performance in the past, they were not better than the gaming GPUs, but just 6 times more expensive. So who would buy that? Nobody. And so NVIDIA needed to put some incentive on for people to buy these cards. And so it seems that in this series, again, they sort of went for the option to limit the performance a little bit on RTX 30 series cards. And so that makes upcoming Quadro cards more attractive because they just can compete. They others offer a bit better performance, and makes Tesla cards more attractive. They have just better performance. And so That's what you get when you have a monopoly. They can just do the things to control market segments as they wish. And yeah.
At the time of recording, the Quarto cards aren't out. And I know in the next week, the GTC conference is coming up. But in general, looking historically, do you think the difference is just diminishing? Is it in any sense worth it to go for the Quarto cards?
Yeah, so if you compare the RTX 2080 Ti and compare it with these Quadro RTX cards, you see a similar performance. You will see a similar performance difference to the RTX 3090 or 3080 and compared to these new Quadro quads that will come out probably soon. And so you can expect sort of a difference about similar to that. The A100 is a bit different GPU. It's much faster than the Tesla A100, but also much more expensive. So yeah, there you cannot make like the straight comparison, but you can expect sort of the Quadro cards and the RTX card to be comparable to the last series, basically in a relative performance to each other.
Okay. And apart from that, in general, you have recommended to still look at older used cards. Which cards do you recommend for different use cases? I know you have it on the blog, but just want to cover that on the podcast as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, sort of in the light of these sort of updated results, if you have like already an RTX 20 series card, it probably makes not so much sense to upgrade, actually, only if you need memory. If you have other use cases like Kaggle or trying to learn deep learning or just try a couple of things out with deep learning. You know, don't need a big GPU. And so you don't need a RTX 30 series. And so there's sort of different options. There is like one GPU, I think it's a GTX 1050. It doesn't need an external power supply. So if you have a computer with like a power supply that has enough wattage, you can just plug it into the main board if you have a slot. You don't need new components. You don't need a new machine. Just plug in the GPU and you can work a little bit. This is only enough to sort of try a couple of things out, but you can get a taste for it. And if you like it, you can invest into a real machine. So that's a very cheap option. Beyond that, I would recommend TensorCore enabled GPUs. They just give you better performance.
I'm sorry to bring up the stupid question again. What is a TensorCore for the uninitiated?
Yeah, so the TensorCore is basically a special unit on the GPU that's just designed for matrix multiplication. And so usually what a computer does, it sort of queues up all these sort of floating point operations like A times B, and it has a lot of them in parallel, and it computes all of them, but sort of each computational unit can just compute one of them at a time. And so what a TensorCore does is it doesn't compute one at a time. It computes entire matrix products of 4 times 4 multiplied with 4 times 4 matrix. These are a lot of multiplications, a lot of additions. And it does it like in the same time as a normal core would process basically a fourth of a single floating point number. So very high throughput. You can put it through a lot of matrix multiplication sort of compute through this core. And so you can say roughly one tensor core is as powerful as like 50 normal cores. Where, I mean, you see these specification with CUDA cores and tensor cores. You shouldn't really look at CUDA cores. It's a bit more complicated than that. But in other words, tensor cores is just very powerful compute units that compute very quickly matrix multiplication and also convolutions that are represented as matrix multiplication. So for deep learning performance, absolutely critical. They speed up your networks quite a bit.
Which graphic cards have the tensor cores, the RTX series and beyond, or before that as well?
So the RTX series and sort of after it, there are some special sort of GPUs. But I think they have the GTX pre-flag. So I think there's the GTX 1660, for example. It doesn't have tensor cores. So as long as the name has RTX in it, I think you can pretty sure that it has tensor cores.
So many people, at least in India, we don't have the used market as big. when we're looking at buying a new GPU, which number should we look at? A lot of it is marketing this memory that has a stupid amount of GBPS, which doesn't really make sense. What number should we really look at while trying to compare these? Because just want to point out that there's so many AIB cards as well, which have the core numbers are the same throughout most of them, just that the frequency changes a lot. So how should we compare these when trying to buy a new one?
Yeah. So in general, I would say if you have these different versions of GPU with super clocked and higher megahertz and that sort of thing, ignore that. And just look at the GPU name. That's important. And basically what the name stands for, and that's the memory. And the most important factor is a memory bandwidth. And so first you should look at or think about what things do I want to train? What things do I want to do with this GPU and how much memory does it require? So if you just do inference and want to train YOLO and just use YOLO for something, you don't need much memory. Inference is very cheap. If you want to train networks, it depends if you want to train on small data sets or if you want to train a big, big transformer on a very big data set. And that sort of makes a difference between 8 gigabytes of memory is enough or 24 gigabytes feels kind of small. And so, you need to first think about that. Once you have that, one of the best options is to really look at the memory bandwidth. And so just look at your budget. What can I afford? And then what is a GPU with the highest memory bandwidth that fulfills my memory requirements that I can afford? You can also look at my blog post where they list cost performance. And so I think in general, that's what's most interesting for people. They just want to know, I have this budget. What's the best GPU? What gives me the best performance? And with that chart, you can sort of figure it out. But as I said, first, you should make sure that it has enough memory. That's the first requirement.
But Tim, in general, outside of your blog post and these two interviews, we don't have many resources. And when you try to look up AIB cards, you always get thrown with the numbers of, hey, this one cools better. This one is slightly faster. Do they really matter in your experience?
Yes, but it's optimized for gaming. So that means usually if you have one GPU, these cards really cool better. And so you see it also in crypto mining rigs. They have certain fans that they prefer because they run cooler and also because they can replace the fans more easily. They can get like China made fans and just replace them when they break. But the thing is, if you stack them next to each other, then some of these designs don't work so well anymore. And so that is often not considered. And so in the last sort of founder series of NVIDIA, they had the problem that single GPU cooled very well, but if you pair it with multiple GPUs, it cools terrible and it overheats. And so in my computer in university, I have extenders, so cables that extend the GPU, so you don't have to put it in a slot. And so if you have that, there's just enough space between GPUs and then you have better cooling performance. So yes, these temperatures do increase. Certain fan designs are better, but it depends how much space is there between GPUs.
So let's say, and I know many people in research are excited to get hands on two 3090s. Would you recommend going with two highest end gaming ones in case we want to stack them together? And I guess it's really interesting because no motherboard right now properly supports putting two of these together.
The 3090s, they will cause a lot of headache. You have power problems, you have heating problems, you have space problems, and then the performance is not that great. They are cheaper than RTX Titans. And RTX Titans are also no longer produced, so it's difficult to maybe find them.
Maybe you can get stuck with them mostly.
Say again?
You're stuck with the 3090s for the most part, I guess, for the research community.
I mean, honestly, if you have like 2080 Ti's, I would probably not upgrade, only if you need the memory. So if you really choose the 3090, then you need to do a couple of things. First, you need to upgrade your power supply to the highest level. You need to get a version that has a two-slot design, not a three-slot design. I saw some cooling numbers from this new design. It's really good, but it's just three slots large, so you cannot run four GPUs. I mean, if you only get two GPUs, totally great. But if you get three GPUs or four GPUs, it will be quite difficult to run that cool. And right now, it's unclear what the best option is. I think with the cooling numbers, probably the smartest option is to buy extenders and distribute them in the case. But then you need to make sure to get very big case so you have enough space to spread them out. And some people suggested like mining rig cases, which are like open air and other types of cases. So no longer like real normal desktop cases. And so, I mean, now that I'm talking, you already see there's so many problems.
Yes.
And then there comes even more problems. So in a lot of like US households and maybe also in other countries, sort of the power socket doesn't support enough power to support one desktop with four 3090s. So you cannot even run it on a single socket with a single socket. So you either need to get two power supplies, spread them out, or you need to power limit the GPU, which is currently an untested solution. On my blog post, I show it is a possible solution. It will probably only reduce your performance a little bit, but it's experimental. And so I'm curious when people build these sort of setups and they will report back and say, yeah, that works, or hey, that doesn't work. So that information will be very valuable. But right now, as discussed, there's so many issues, so many things to figure out, and so many things that can go wrong. And so for most people, I would say wait until people build these things and wait until people report back and say, okay, this works and this doesn't work, and here's a problem, and oh, we need to figure that out. And once all of that is digested, I think we know what you need to get a setup like that.
For extenders, it's kind of scary because you buy this really expensive graphic card and it's just hanging out on the side of your case. At least that's how it appeared in the picture.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a bit disorganized. I think if you can, if you put a bit more effort into it and a bit more thinking and planning, you can get a better case. There are some cases where you can nicely mount sort of extenders, and some extenders have like a base which you can nicely attach to a case, and so you don't have these free floating GPUs that sort of hang in all these cables. I also didn't get extenders that were long enough. I thought I had a long enough extender and I sort of measured, but then these things bend, they can be quite stiff, and I don't know, you need to find the right spot in the case, and sometimes there's just not enough space, because all these power cables, you need to also think about that. And so I think if you do it carefully, you can make it work, make it look nice, and it will feel safe. But if you do it like me, then it's a bit disorganized and chaos.
That's a very honest answer. So for cases, you've also mentioned, and I'm asking these questions because a lot of us have been discussing this constantly since it was announced. So again, these are all theoretical mm-hmm. questions, but cases you mentioned only help reduce 3 to 4 degrees Celsius temperature if you get a very good case with good airflow. So which mm-hmm. case should we really get? Again, it's also size problem with the 3090 because you need to make sure A, you can fit the motherboard, B, you can fit two of these nicely. Which case should we look at?
Yeah, so I don't have any specific recommendation, especially with the 3090. So I think it's also a little bit longer than other GPUs. And so a lot of cases only support like 3 GPUs with double slots. So you have a motherboard with 4 slots, but then the last slot is so close to the case that you cannot mount a GPU there. And it's very common. At University of Washington, I've seen a lot of cases where this is the case. They cannot mount the 4th GPU.
It's the same case with this, same situation with this case as well. As you can see, there's a PSU shroud right around here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is a 2080 Ti, but it's a 2.5 slot card. So literally it's useless beyond a single card.
I see. And this is like very difficult to figure out. So
and no one has talked about this, which has really upset me, because I was on this rabbit hole of just trying to find the answer. I couldn't.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. My strategy is sort of to look, to do a Google search for 4 GPU rigs and see, okay, they have enough space there. They have enough space there. And so then look at which cases they have, and then sort of reverse engineer, okay, if I get this case, I can fit your 4 GPUs, because they could fit it, so I can fit it. And so I think that's sort of secure, but there are a few cases that support this. It's difficult to do, and especially with the new GPUs, it's more uncertain because you cannot search for an image for that. So yeah, you need to be very conservative. Look at the biggest case that you can find. Look directly on the sort of where the motherboard mounted, how much space is there. And sometimes it makes sense to just step away from that and just think about sort of a mining rig or even a server sort of a case. And so, yeah, it's not clear what's the best solution. I think time will tell, but be conservative in the case.
Another theoretical question, but if you'd like to answer this, most of the motherboards, some have a good spacing, mostly the hyper expensive ones, which force you to get a Threadripper, which makes sense if you're getting two of 3090s. So how much space would you recommend if someone is too scared to just use extenders? Do you know if one PCI slot space between cards is helpful in general? Again, it's a theoretical question, because 3090s will heat up a lot more since they go up to 400 watts. But
yeah. So without extenders, it's difficult to say how GPUs, how the 3090 or 3080 or even 3070 will perform when they're right next to each other. So I think these cooling numbers that I saw, they are really from a single GPU. So not a multi-GPU setup. Yes. It seems that the NVIDIA standard design has both blower and a fan, and the fans sort of can circulate through the other GPUs. So it seems that there should be some airflow, but I'm very skeptical. These GPUs have much more power. They radiate much more heat. So if they're very close to each other, what can you expect if you have a certain spacing? What can you expect in certain designs? And so I would just recommend most people wait for other people to figure it out. Right now, it's a bit risky. I mean, what I read is that the 3090 sold out already. So I guess most people have to wait anyway a little bit. And so let other people figure it out first.
Just want to mention for the curious that older generation cards also have this semi-blower design, not the blow-through design, but at least the gaming card I have, it also is a hybrid of sort. It blows hot air downwards and also through the back of the case. So if you're really curious, you can look at multiple cases of these ones where people are using multiple of these. But
Yeah, I didn't know about that the design like that existed. So that's a very good data point. So if you find some temperature numbers on people that have a rig like that, that's probably a good indicator. It seems that the NVIDIA design is very sort of complex. It seems to have a lot of more radiators and that sort of thing, a lot of more pipes. But it's probably, if you compare the standard sort of third-party vendor GPUs with sort of this design, what you have there in a 4 GPU setup, and you look at the differences in temperature, probably that is comparable what you can see sort of in the NVIDIA GPUs.
But again, like you said, and I'm sorry for asking so many theoretical questions, I guess the best thing is to wait. Another theoretical question that is also lurking in the community, I promise this is the last one, is blower edition graphic cards might not work at this wattage. Do you think that might be the case? So people are thinking of waiting, or if they shouldn't wait, what are your thoughts on that?
So in general, blower cards run hotter. They have the advantage that they can get rid of the air. But if you have an extender and like a founder edition GPU and a blower GPU, the founder edition will just be cooler. It is just a better cooling system, but not if there's no space between the GPUs. And so that's correct. Maybe blower designs will not suffice. And so I guess maybe what NVIDIA's design that they sort of had took these things into account, and they have both. And so maybe you need both, and very sort of streamlined design, very complex cooling design. But so I think their design with the extender is probably the best cooling solution. And if we can just figure out a nice case and a nice extender that you can mount safely, I think that that's probably the solution that most people would be happy about. There's very little risk. Everything is stable, and cooling will be great.
I hope so. I'm sure we can. The audience can stay up by just following you on Twitter, because I know you'll share it when you find out.
Definitely, yeah.
Hi everyone, this is Editor Sayyam. Just wanted to mention that I've cut this conversation abruptly because the complete one will go out in a few weeks. As if you've listened to the previous interview with Tim, as I said in the intro as well, it's one of the most insightful ones. But for now, I hope this answers a few of the questions that at least I have been asking to everyone I know, and a few people that I know have been discussing heavily around which graphic cards to get. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed the show, please be sure to give it a review, or feel free to shoot me a message. You can find all of the social media links in the description. If you like the show, please subscribe and tune in each week to Chai Time Data Science.